That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, April 15th. Hey, that's tax day, right? Don't forget to pay your taxes. And but good morning. We welcome you here. Snowy morning here, the spring snow. That's all right. It's springtime. We're loving it. We're loving it. And we got a full crew on this morning. Brother Paul, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south with your 68 degrees. Rub it in, buddy. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Pull up a chair. Hope you have your coffee and your Bibles. And, you know, we'll have the phone lines open this morning. And where we go, what we talk about, who knows? We'll just see where the Holy Spirit leads. And we're going to open up with prayer. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning in the direction that we're to go. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we just cry out to you for you to save us from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us. Continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do. Strengthen us and encourage us. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray, Father, that as your remnant, we just cry out for you, for your assistance in everything that we do, and deliver us from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us, those that would like to see our names blotted out. Lord, thank you for all that you give us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And again, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. We do our best to to take your call and have a little fellowship with you and praise the Lord with you. Saw one headline I thought I'd just start out with this morning. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is kind of making the rounds, making some speeches. I think he's been up in New Hampshire, New Jersey, that kind of stuff. Kind of looks like getting ready for a presidential run. And but had a was given a speech at a Republican fundraiser and had a couple people pop up in front of him yelling at him that they didn't like him. And the people were, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you guys saw it, but the one I saw, they had two women, and they had little flyers, like, and it said, Jews against DeSantis. And I thought, wow, that's not something you see every day. And so they were yelling, and they made it right up to the podium before his security guys got him out. And his comment was like, well, different strokes for different folks, I guess. And he just went on with his speech. And anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't think we see as much media coverage on Ron DeSantis and his and what he's doing in Florida as we could if he was promoting these ungodly lifestyles. He another quote I saw from him. He was talking about that that trans swimmer Leah Thompson or Thomas or whoever it was that was swimming against Riley Gaines and causing those problems. And he called him a fraud. And he said it's just an absolute fraud. And to me, that's encouraging to see, a governor standing up and being vocal about what, well, a lot of society is accepting. And I think that it's a good thing that that we're seeing from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, because when you stand up against that, the world comes back against you. That's for sure.
Well, and we owe it to him to pray for him, because he is making some good stands and making some right decisions. Now, is the guy perfect? No, but I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. You know, anyone has to act like we each other are, but whenever one of us is doing something right, we need to lift them up and pray for them, that they have the strength to be able to continue to fight that fight. And make no mistake, he is fighting some battles. And I feel like he got some good, makes a good point on a lot of things. I don't really know a lot of his background and character and whatever. I'm not trying to sell him to you, but we do need to pray for our leaders whenever, and it's just pray for them, period, whether they're doing wrong or right, but we need to lift them up when they're doing right and encourage them and speak up, you know, whenever somebody's in opposition to him. Well, like, no, I do believe he is correct. I believe that guy is a guy, even though he's got a dress on.
That's right.
You know, this is something that I know, and Governor DeSantis is right about that. And he did not win the woman's swimming event, you know, because he's not a woman.
Right.
I don't care how much you pretend.
And Riley Gaines, you know, that has stood up and become vocal, a female professional athlete, college athlete, swimmer, is under fire. I mean, they was physically assaulted at a talk she gave last week, and is continuing to come under assault from these these ungodly, openly embracing sin, whatever, transgender promoting, I don't know what to call them, but she's continuing to come under attack. And for standing up. Yeah, I don't know her. I know she's married to a man. So that tells you a lot in these days. and but it's by their fruits. You know, they're standing up for truth, and they're coming against evil, and that's a good fruit, isn't it? Isn't that a good fruit, to stand up against evil?
We definitely are outnumbered. Don't think you're going to vote yourself out of this mess. You know, George Washington spent a winter in Valley Forge on his knees praying, and he beat the biggest army in the world. And this is how we're going to do it, is because they're on self-destruct, and they're trying to keep power and keep their position in the world. And that's all they have, is attack the truth. And when the truth will prevail, always has, always will. When you build a fire, you put stuff down, you get it started, and you keep containing that heat until you can't contain it more, and all of a sudden you got yourself a bonfire. And that's what oppression does to the true people of God. You got to oppress them before they wake up. We should have woke up a long time ago, but it does happen. You know, you think the fire's going to go out, but it ain't going out. And it's going to be one on your knees and not in a voting booth, because that's controlled dramatically. My daughter worked in a book polling thing last thing, and she says, I can't prove this, but when she said, you can about see a Democrat that comes up to vote, and every time it did, he sucked it in the machine, they reject it, and had to shove it in again. Well, so that's double your count right there, and I don't know for sure if that's true or not, but it sure is possible that those things are rigged that way. You know, no paper and pencil is still a pretty good way to go.
Amen.
Well, that kind of is, I guess, a good segue into what I was thinking this morning. So, I was having a conversation with the children in the kitchen this morning, because you know we do. It is a different world that we're living in, and there are those that are trying to deceive and trying to destroy. And there are a lot of our people that are led astray by that, and they don't know who they are. And, you know, it's gotten to a point where they don't. Well, I guess it was to a point where they didn't know if they were boys or girls. And now it's gone past that, you know, and it is apparently a real thing where people think they're animals, you know, wearing cat tails and ears to school. And it's just one thing whenever you hear about that in California or, you know, whatever, but this is happening at a school, you know, 5 or 10 miles from my house, where people are wearing dog tails and dog ears and demanding to identify as animals and demanding that they put litter boxes in the bathroom. And, you know, there's no, and they're, in Satan's counterfeit kingdom, there's no limit to where that's going to stop. And so my thoughts this morning in the direction I was going in is, you know, we highlight all these different things that's going on in the world around us. Pastor Peters is so masterful of that. I loved listening to him at nights, because he would cover the headlines, and then he would cover, okay, what was really going on behind the headlines. And so we're trying to continue with that, you know, the pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And it is super important to know what's going on around you, so that you can prepare yourself, protect your family. But also another big part of that is who am I, and how am I acting? What am I doing that's in line, and what am I doing that's out of line? And so we were talking about this, and the fact of, you know, a girl is a girl and a boy is a boy, and I don't care what you call it. And if, you know, you live in a make-believe land, we were talking about, you know, filters on people's phones, and that there can be somebody that weighs, you know, 400 pounds. I'm not picking on them, but they can there's an app on their phone where they can look like they're 120 pounds. You know, they can create this whole alternate reality to live in that is housed on the web to escape where they're at today. And that is easier than eating well and working hard and losing weight, you know. So
And it's actually hurting that person by being able to live in that make-believe world. And it is stretching far beyond that to now. You got people that are out here going to school wearing cat ears and tails, and we keep bowing and bending and make-believe because we don't want to hurt this person's feelings. We don't want to hurt their mental health. Well, no, their mental health is already in question. You know, we're hurting them by going along with it. I got a 3-year-old that, you know, he wants to point and grunt and get everything that he wants. And if we don't make him talk and if we don't make him do better, then he's going to go through life just like that, thinking that he can show his behind and get what he wants. He's entitled, and he needs discipline the same way that we need discipline. And I poured out the window, you know, at a couple trucks sitting out there in the driveway. And I said, I don't care what you call that. That's still a truck. And my daughter said, well, you could just say that it's a vehicle. I said, well, that's fine. All right. So we'll say that it's a vehicle. But if I need you to go hook to the gooseneck and so that we can go move a tractor, and I just tell you to go out there and get a vehicle, well, you might get a lawnmower, you might get the side-by-side, you might get your mom's SUV. No, we need a truck. And there are trucks for a reason, and there are trucks for a purpose. And, you know, and I said, and it wasn't exactly correct, that, you know, God made trucks. All right, well, no, God didn't make trucks. Oh, well, you're right. God didn't make trucks. But he allowed us to, and he gave us that. And, you know, in my application, not saying that women can't have trucks, but that truck's a man, and that's what it's built for. And we as men are built for a purpose, and that's our calling in life, and that's where we are happiest, and that's where we are the most blessed, is whenever we're fulfilling our purpose in life, whenever we line up and we're listening to where God is sending us. It ain't always going to make sense, but you got to realize we're also that 3-year-old that needs the direction, and God is the parent that sent us. And a lot of times we fight it, and we gotta get them spankings. And you know, I told my kids that, you know, they're children, that a lot of times I get out of line, and God has to use that rod to correct me. And if I'm smart, I'm gonna appreciate that and say, oh, I got you, boss, you know, and ask for forgiveness, and then move back onto the road where I need to be instead of down in the ditch. And that should be a never-ending process as long as we live. And so that's where my mind is right now. Whenever we are minding ourselves, whenever we're trying to be in God's will and where we're supposed to be every day, doing what we're supposed to be doing, you're doing your part, and you're being your part of the body, and we're going to succeed. You know, not being distracted by what the world tells us is good, which is, you know, for the most part, if the world's telling you something, it's going to be wrong. We got to do the hard things and, you know, make the hard decisions and follow what God is telling us, and follow the word. And it's important, and I don't do it enough, that we communicate that with our children, you know, because the world is coming at them 365 degrees in every direction. They're throwing this propaganda and, you know, all this abomination at them. And so we need to make sure that we're making the right effort to be giving them that good information and explaining why and how. And giving them examples of why, you know, that's our job, to be those teachers and to be continually getting better. I don't want to ramble too long, but
no, I appreciate like what you said when you were talking about the children too. You know, it's kind of funny because you think when they get punished, when they get that whipping, or when they have their time out, or however you punish them, you know, they think that that's just a real bad deal. And sometimes I just shake my head and I'm like, you know, wait till God starts chastising you and you grow up a little bit more, because that's when it really hurts. You might as well learn those lessons when you're young so that you don't have to go through some of this stuff when you're older. Because when God chastises you, sometimes he can chastise you real good.
Right, and you know you can't go back and get that time back. That's a perfect another conversation that we have was learning things while you're younger, and the same thing with your Christian walk. You know, if you level up and you put in the time and you learn and you grow when you're younger and you're teachable, and that's a big thing, being teachable, then you get to enjoy the benefits of that knowledge for a longer portion of your life. One of the things we talked about this morning was how cutting the grass is a good thing, and doing the dishes, and, you know, all these different tasks. Just like what you said, Jason, they're learning that, you know, when they're younger, and then it's easier whenever they're older because they don't have all these things hitting them at one time that they're trying to do. My wife gave an example of one of her cousins that he was, you know, spoiled, never had to do anything. And when he got out on his own, you know, he went to a dorm for college or whatever. And he called his mom. He's like, "Mom, this carpet has gotten nasty in here. You know, what do I do with it?" She's like, "Well, do you not vacuum in the carpet?" And he said, "No, what are you talking about vacuuming the carpet?" She said, "You got to vacuum the carpet for, you know," he didn't know. And, didn't know about cleaning, washing dishes properly, and all these little things that we just take for granted. You've got to learn that at some point in time. There's really no such thing as common sense. It's life experiences that, you know, we learn and we just categorize them as common sense. But somebody's got to teach you this stuff, you know, and we need to be teachable and to be the teachers also that are willing to do that. I love Paul. He's not really a nice guy. That's not his thing, but he's helped me so much through the years, just with, you know, imparting that wisdom that he learned. And I'd a whole lot rather take a lesson that he learned at 60 and get that lesson whenever I'm 30 and not have to go through the suffering that he did to learn that lesson. You know, that's a free level up for me. And it normally comes with a story. You know, this is how I got there. You know, I put my thumb where it didn't have any business over there by that nail when I was swinging the hammer, and I hit it with the hammer. So don't put your thumb there. You know, and there's so many simple things. And so one of his, you know, was being in the churches and him being out there searching and all the different experiences. And he's sharing that with me. Well, I can see that and I can receive that and learn from that. I don't have to put the time into learning that lesson. And so just, man, be teachable and listen to life experience and take and measure everything against the word, and your life will be so much better. The sooner that we can learn these things, the more that we'll be able to handle that meat, you know, the weightier things. But there's prerequisites in life. You got to get to a certain level before you can handle going to the next level. And I don't mind having people help me to get there a long way. I'd rather that. And I'm all about it, as a matter of fact.
Well, what you were saying about love listening to Pastor Peterson at night, you know, that's one of the things that I miss and loved and got to hear more than most people was the stories that from, you know, the time from his early childhood through life, and basically him being able to apply the lessons that he learned in life and how he applied them to a biblical principle, or how you could look at his life and see that God was teaching him, you know, at a very young age. He was teaching him this lesson that, you know, was the foundation for a biblical truth that he learned 30 years later or 40 years later. And we can just see that over and over through his life and learn through those life circumstances that God put him through so he could be a better teacher and teach us a lesson. And, you know, that's what I learned, a lot of lessons from him that, you know, God didn't have to teach me. I didn't have to, you know, be that, you know, hard-headed or stiff-necked or, you know, be, you know, drug around a horse for a couple of miles to learn this lesson. And, you know, it's just evident that there was that teaching and there was those lessons that were taking place. And, you know, how blessed we are to be able to have learned some of those things from him. You know, like, you know, just the one thing that, you know, you were talking about earlier about, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that. You know, the scripture that I've been thinking a lot about, and I want to elaborate on it more here in the future, hopefully in an upcoming message. But New American Standards is Philippians 1:28. It says, in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a salvation for you, and that too is from God. And, you know, we get caught up and we talk about they're doing this and they're doing that, and did you see what, you know, what so-and-so put up on his website, and there's going to be this concentration camp that's going to come in, and they're going to set these concentration camps up, and it's because the new currency is coming in, and they're going to do away with the U.S. dollar, and you're going to have to go to this camp, and you're going to get a new cell phone, and you're going to get a new social security number and a new bank account. You're going to be plugged into the system, and they're going to be monitoring everything that that you do, and you're not going to be able to do this, and you're not going to be able to do that. I mean, the list goes on and on, or what they're doing with our food, this and that. I mean, it's good to be informed on what they're doing, but there is a lot of false information out there as well, and people tend to get themselves worked up and in a frenzy. You know, and this, you know, scripture is still true. I mean, and there's a lot of other scriptures that go along with it. Don't fret because of evildoers. But, you know, to me, this scripture, Philippians 1:28, holds a lot of power. In no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them. I mean, a sign of destruction for them, that's a big deal. That's huge. We need to continue to make sure that we are found walking in that every day. And, you know, not alarmed by them, not worried about what they are doing. We need to be worried about what we're doing and what we are teaching our children and how we're going to survive and how we're going to be better people, how we're going to be walking better with God, closer to God, walking and talking in that, having that daily communion with him, having our hearts and minds in the proper place that we need to be in so that when God does what he's doing, that we can step up to the plate and do our part, you know, and be a light into a, you know, a dark world, to be that those people that are there that are a blessing to others. And I know that, you know, that's one thing that that you've been working a lot on, Josh, as well, and just you know, trying to be that stronghold, that strong person there that is that's there for others around you.
Well, there's nowhere that I know of, and y'all can show me and I will learn, but that I know of in the Bible where it tells us to worry, you know, and to fret. It's fret not. And remember last Saturday I talked about watching that 800 or 900 pound cow with that 5 pound dog running around her feet, you know, yapping and whatever. And all she had to do was just stomp that sucker and it would be over, you know, but she had a choice of whether she was going to run across the field and get tangled up in the barbed wire and, you know, end up hurting herself because of being afraid of this, or if she just stands there and laughs at it. And, you know, we know that our God is the stronger God. And we should not be fretting. We should not be worrying. We should be claiming those truths and those promises that are ours, that he gave us, that he sacrificed and gave his life for us to be able to be victorious in him. That's where we're supposed to be standing at. You know, whenever we worry, we take something that's an abstract idea that may or may not ever come to pass. We take that and we turn it into something real, because you really have stress on yourself whenever you worry. You know, your blood pressure goes up. It hurts your relationship with your wife because you're fighting. You take something that is fake and internalize it and turn it into something that has real effects on you and your body. And that is counterproductive. That is not good for us to do. And so we should recognize whenever we find out that, you know,
tomorrow morning that everything's going to fall or it's going to catch on fire or whatever. It's like, okay, maybe it does. but once again.
Well, we do it to ourselves.
Yeah. But once again, nothing they have is good for me. It's their system. It's not God's system. So let it fall. And God's going to take care of me. I am his chosen. I am his elect. I'm his child, and he wants what's best for me. And I'm doing what he's wanting me to do. So therefore, I'm not going to worry. And today, I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to smile. You know, we're going to go for a walk. We're going to have something good to eat or whatever. We're going to enjoy today for what today is. And don't be loaded up with the stress and worries of the world. That's one of their most effective weapons, is getting in your head, stealing your joy, getting in between you and God, breaking down that relationship that you've got, breaking down your faith. That's what they're doing. And I don't care if it's somebody that's a leftist, liberal, whatever, that is spewing this garbage, or if it's a supposed conservative Christian radio shedding light on the truth. If they're selling this propaganda, they're not for you. They're not for God. You need to turn the mess off and focus on what you need to be doing every day. And I say this to a point, you know, as far as, but I don't have a lot of control over what you're doing up there in Colorado, Jason. We're not going to physically change, you know, what's going on in this world. The way we can change it is by changing what we do. We can change it by praying and by calling for God. And when you get an opportunity, damn right, open your mouth and take a stand and do what we're supposed to do and lift up other people that are doing that. But worrying about it, all that's doing is just destroying you. It's wasting energy. It's stealing your time. We only got so much time here. We need to be investing in ourselves, investing in other people, not just setting fire to it and wasting that energy by worrying.
And I've seen that so often, and just, I mean, on a very regular basis, where you see people getting robbed of the joy of the Lord that they can have or should have in their lives, because they're, you know, they're worried about this, or they're spending time and energy. And, you know, in so many ways, they're letting their enemies, our enemies, however you want to put it, control their emotions, control their actions, be it a dictator in their life. And I've seen families that have dealt with that on personal levels with family members that are just causing strife and contention, or in the workplace, or whatever the situation is. But you know, they let their enemies control their actions as they start reacting to what's going on in their life. And some of the Bible teaches, for a lack of fuel, a fire goes out. And some of this stuff just needs to be left alone. You know, Josh, you're spending 5 days a week, sometimes longer than that, away from home, and then you go home. And, you know, are you spending every single minute that you have when you get home on working on your food storage? Because, you know, if you're not, you're neglecting your family. There's a lot of people that would have that attitude. You know, they'd have that attitude towards me. We've got to walk in that peace that passes understanding. And when you do that, there's a boldness and there's a holiness that can come about you as you're doing what, you know, the Lord has intended for you.
Well, right, and you pray that God will show you what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Because that's the only way you can know.
Exactly.
It's not the same calling. It's not the same calling for me as it is for you. We're in different situations. We got different surroundings. There's different variables. So the only way that I can know what I need to be doing is to ask God. God, I pray that you'd show me if there's something else I need to be doing, food wise, gun wise, with generators and gasoline and everything around, and pray that God would show you, show us what it is we need to be doing, and then like, you know, listen and wait. Was thinking about, I talked to you about it, getting another truck. And there's a set of circumstances with it. And I talked to a guy that had a really nice low mileage truck and, you know, whatever. And, so I told him, you know, it sounded good and all, and it was a good deal. It won't miss out. And I said, well, look, you know, and I felt like I was Holy Spirit led on. I said, if you still got it Saturday, whenever I get in,
you know, good deal, I'm gonna come check it out. And I said, and if you don't, it's not meant. And I didn't come up with that. I knew that that was what was right because, you know, I prayed about, okay, if I'm supposed to get a truck, show me and show me which one, and I want it to be a good one and be something that we can afford and it's a good fit for us. And so in everything, we should pray that God would show us where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing. And then when he tells you, listen and do it. And you can't go wrong with that. And if you take that and apply that to every different aspect of your life, then you are on the path. You are walking the walk. And once you get that baseline of stuff, so say the food storage, I've prayed about it, and we got some food, and we got some bullets, you know, we got some this and that, and we got all that stuff, and God has given me a piece about it. So I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on other things. And one of the things is people. Trying to lift up our people, trying to be somebody that's there for people to help them, because we all need help. But I've got that, you know, I have filled that order that God gave me, what I'm supposed to have for my family to be able to provide. And we are all expected to do, you know, what we're supposed to do. I don't believe you're supposed to be empty-handed. There's situations where we find ourselves there. But you shouldn't plan on being there and having to wait on a handout.
Right.
But I have done those things, and I got a piece about it, and that has opened me up to be able to do other things.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and you just continue to walk in that and remember to do that on a daily basis. I mean, and sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes I need a Josh to get on the phone and slap me around, so to speak, or laugh at me when I start fretting over what an evildoer is doing.
Yeah, because sometimes we can't see it, and so it does help. And that's that steel sharpening steel, you know, and man, I got this going on, and, you know, blah, blah, and, you know, and I've done the same with you and call you and talk about you. You've laughed at me. I'm like, you know, hold on now. Don't laugh at me. And you're like, well, you're being stupid. And I was like, and, you know, and then you can help me to see it, and that's what the way.
When you can get on, and somebody can go on a rant and tell them everything that just horrible is going on in their life, and you're like, okay, so you know what's so bad about it now? Explain to me, and just how a different perspective. You can get locked in, and your mind sometimes can be your own worst enemy, and you get to thinking a certain way, and you start just going down that rabbit trail, and. Just on taking a step back and removing yourself from the situation and looking at the situation and being like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's not that bad. And you know what? God's in control of it all, so, you know, what's the big deal?
And so a good example of that, and it's so easy to see, take your hand, pick it up, and put it right in front of your face. How much can you see? You know, but whenever you remove yourself from it, you put that hand further and further, then you see more and more of what's around you. You know, a problem is super big when it's right up on you. You know, and sometimes you think, oh, this is the end of the world or whatever. But if you get some space from it, if you remove, and it does help to have people that you can count on to get a different perspective, you know, run it by people. And, you know, there's certainly a value, but you're right. We hem ourselves up and we forget to be thankful. And that's another thing that me and the children were talking about this morning is we have got it so well. We are so fat and happy that we forget to be thankful for what God has given us. And that ought to be, no matter how bad it is, we ought to be thankful. And the Bible shows us that we should be thankful, because some of the worst and hardest times are some of the best times in your life. And you'll look back and you'll cherish them way better than the days that you were on the beach in the sun. And, you know, we got to remember to always to be thankful. You know, whether you are in jail or whether you're the CEO of a company, anything in between, you know, be thankful and do your work whenever you are in that position, because God's using you, and there's things that you can do that you can affect your future and the future of all those around you if you'll just do what you're supposed to be doing. And the only way you can find that out is by asking him.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, look at COVID.
Go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead. Well, look how COVID shut this whole country down and just devastated it, really. And it's fear of the wrong God is what it amounted to. I remember when it happened, I said, well, I had no fear. He says he knows the hairs on my head and the day I'm appointed. Why would I spend one time worrying about that? But I'm telling you, the whole nation shut down, if not fear of that itself, of being how they're perceived in the community. But it has taken over this country, and this fear of the wrong God, what is mounting in this government, has been put in a position of a God, and it's not the real God. And it's diverted us from the blessings that he has, the simplicity that Josh has been talking about, and Jason. It's the simplicity of life. Just take God at his word. You know, a guy told me yesterday, China or somebody made a bomb. If they put it in the ocean, it would drown the United States. I said, you know, that's all fear. Don't believe that for one second. But, you know, this is what they do all the time. And the trouble is, so people are so fearful of the wrong thing. And there's a lot of it out there, let me tell you, because anybody with an ounce of sense can see all this stuff coming. And if they believe it, it's going to come for sure. So I enjoyed you guys' conversation, because it's back to basics to what it amounts to.
It is.
And that's what we need to get to on a lot of things and a lot of different fronts. Is sometimes the basic stuff is some of the most profound, too. And then, you know, I learned that from listening to Dad for years and years and years. And then, you know, how different, you know, his way of teaching was than the others. Is the world would say it, the prophet, you know, it takes the... Dad would teach it. The prophet, as the modern day world, takes something that's very simple and tries to make it very profound. And the true prophet actually took the very profound and made it very simple for the people to understand. And sometimes getting back to basics is some of the most important things that we need to be doing, because that's our foundation. Without a foundation, there's nothing that's going to stand. And you know, getting rid of fear and just changing your mind and changing your way of thinking is some of the most powerful things that a person can do. And any of these motivational speakers or teachers that are any good will tell you. And that, you know, it's, you know, the way that you think about things and the way that you look at things and the way that you perceive things. And, you know, if you want to change, you know, your life, you got to change the way you think.
Well, that's one of the things that fear is not the right word, Paul, but like, you know, you're talking about what you fear. One of my big things is I don't want to let God down, because I love him like a father figure and I want to make him proud. And so that's a pretty simple, tool for guidance, is if I make this action, is that making God proud of me, or is he shaking his head? You know, and I look at that as a relationship. I want to do right by him. I want him to be proud of me. I want to help our brethren and help everybody around us. And I was explaining, teachers, you know, or ourselves sharing with other people. And I was, showing it with my hands, and I can't do that here. But, you know, whenever you know something that somebody else doesn't know, you know, if you put one hand higher than the other, and you've got the knowledge up here, and they've got lesser knowledge down here. When you share that knowledge with them, it brings them up. And so I asked the question to my children, what, you know, who's better off, you know, if you, you know, are you better off or worse off if you share this knowledge with somebody and bring them up? And my little girl said it, and it's the way a lot of people think. Well, it depends, you know, because whenever you share that knowledge with them, then you're losing the advantage over them. I said, and a lot of people think that way. But in all reality, whenever you're going to teach somebody, and y'all know this, from when you're going to preach a sermon or whatever, if you're going to put yourself in position to teach her, you're going to go back and study that and make sure that you're right. And through that studying, you're going to get better. So you're actually moving up from where you were while you're bringing that person up, while you're sharing the knowledge with that person. So you're better off. Through that act of teaching, you get to be better, and both of you are better. And so then whenever both of you are better and this person learns that lesson, and then when they learn something else, well, they more likely or less likely to share it with you. They're more likely to share it with you. So then you level up again. And it's a constant process. It's a growing process that if we will freely give what we have received and not hold back and try to hoard it for ourselves and look down and, well, the world is doing this and the world is doing that. You know, we're being holier than thou, standing on top of a pedestal. If we don't do that, and if we put ourselves in the, hey, I see the log in my eye,
and let me help you, you know, because I've done this before, and I show you where what the scripture says about it, because I searched it out. I fought this. You know, you and I, Jason, have been through so many different situations through life that we've been able to help the other one with that nobody else could, because they haven't been through that. And whenever we help each other, it helps us. And it's just a blessing. You got to think about our God is the God that's got everything in his hands. He's got all of the cards. And so, therefore, don't worry about if you've got enough for you or not, because he's going to keep them coming. You know, those blessings, he feeds them to us. And it doesn't pay for us to be greedy and try to hoard and take it all up for ourselves. You freely give, and you're going to receive more. How many times have you said that, Jason, that you went to go give away something on a day, and and ended up coming home with more than what you gave away on that particular day? And yeah, it's just amazing how that happens.
It is that law, and that is, I believe that is a law that is taught in the Bible: is freely give, freely receive. It's a law of, you know, attraction, or however you want to put it. But I've seen where you can take that knowledge and you give that knowledge away, and how it just, you know, either somebody else will come into your life and they'll start giving you knowledge, or, you know, God will start opening the doors for you and teaching you something else. And, you know, the more that you give that stuff away, that knowledge, that understanding, the things, the lessons of life that he's put in your life, you know, the more knowledge that you will have. I mean, sometimes we sit there and we wonder, you know, why is God teaching me this? Why is God putting me through this? And I know for me, it's been, I've reflected back on things that I've went through years and years before. And I remember asking, you know, God, why is this happening? You know, and years down the road, you know, it'll just click, and you'll be talking with somebody or trying to help somebody out in a situation, and they'll be asking you questions, and you'll have an answer. And it just clicks, and it's like, that's why God put me through that. That's why God taught me that lesson. It wasn't about me, but it was so that I could help somebody else with that lesson. And, you know, it like you said, it's that steel sharpening steel. It's being there for your brother and in Christ, and being there for them, being able to help them out in the situation that they're going through. Being able to have that, you know, whether it's a little nugget of truth or whether it's a whole, you know, semi-load of it, but being there for other people, recognizing that, you know, God does all things together for good for those that love him according to his word. And, I mean, we talk about that, but, you know, we need to continue to walk in it.
Amen. Guys, well, let's
– God is also the keeper of the days. You know,
right.
So we can't fret about time that we spent fretting. You know, so to anybody that's out there listening this morning, and you know, you see where you've used this time, you've spent up this time on, you know, worrying and fretting or what have you. You can't go back and get yesterday, but God can give you more tomorrow's, because He is in control of that. And so take it and make today what today is, and pray about it. We've seen the scripture where, you know, he can add to our number of days, and he can also take away. But just start every day, you know, with that new, giving this day our daily bread. And, you know, what do you have for me to do today? And use me today. And you can't worry about yesterday, you know, because just because you missed an opportunity yesterday doesn't mean that you won't get a better one today. He's got all that.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines. Got a phone line caller. Thanks for waiting, and good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, it's Brother Steven. I'm coming from 10 miles from Valley Forge, and I hope I hear what your brothers are saying. I just want to give you a little law. Obadiah 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. And as for this spirit that's trying to take away our birthright and trying to make us a trustee rather than a beneficiary and entering the kingdom, I have Isaiah 3:9 for them. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they shall declare their sin as Sodom. They shall hide it not. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Now, regarding the practical sense, this is a legal construct. We're using legal fictions. And if you go to Title I, Section 1 of the U.S. Code, it's one page defining the meaning of words that Congress creates in their fiction world. And if you read it, part of it is words importing the masculine gender include the feminine. So these are legal fictions. That's why they don't make a distinction, because they're fictions. They're corporate use of the corporate name trying to steal our birthright. We're beneficiaries. The trust is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're trying to make us a trustee rather than a beneficiary. That's all I have to say. Thank you, brothers, for your encouragement.
Thank you, Stephen. And I liked what he read there, Obadiah, that day of the Lord comes. And when does it come? Well, it talks about that they hide not their sin. They hide it not. And don't we see that in the land today? It's one of those things we have to fight against. One of the things we have to, like you've been talking, Josh, teach our children that those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, they're not hiding it anymore. They present it as a lifestyle, but it's a death style. And they present it as, being accepting and go with it and let people do whatever they want to do. And that's freedom. And it's not. It's slavery. But the word tells us wherever you look, just like there in Obadiah, they hide it not. They hide it not. And more and more people are seeing it and awakening to it.
I seen a sign on a church yesterday. It said show people your happiness and stuff like that. And it didn't say that exactly, but the key word was at the end. It says use a few words if you need to. That means the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Wear it on your face. Be happy and be a light into the world. And everything that we've talked about here is teaching this to the next generation. But I did a thing in Bronson one time. Where's the joy? And that was for myself. I was so negative and jackass you ever seen. But that sermon was for myself. Where's the joy? It's the gospel. It's the good news. Don't forget it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what love pastors. They said all these.
Go ahead, Josh.
All these victorious Christians walking around here that have the kingdom, you know, you have that birthright and that promise, and you walking around here so long face you could eat oatmeal out of a boot. You know, that tickled me of him saying it, and it's right. You know, victory in Jesus, you know. No, that ain't the way we're supposed to be. And it's out of line. It's out of order. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, and I just I want to shift gears. I know we only got a few minutes left, but just as a closing thought, it's you know, I've been really getting a hoot and have been happy with all this the people that are protesting the Bud Light and the videos that are coming out, you know, the people that are, you know, are you're supporting that tranny food. And even here in Fort Collins, I was had to go to the grocery store yesterday, and I took a picture of it because it was. And I'd seen pictures of it posted online, but going across that Bud Light section, and there was not a single case. There wasn't and they had, you know, they had 6 packs of cans, 6 packs of bottles, 12 packs of cans, 12 packs of bottles, you know, all the way up to 30 packs, and that whole section was completely filled, and there wasn't one product that was missing on a Bud Light in the Bud Light section. And the stuff that you normally see, the PBR, the the Miller Lite section was almost completely empty. And there's people that are protesting, and it's cost them so far, I think, $6 billion, them supporting this stinking tranny. People are, you know, constantly saying, you know, you go woke and you go broke. And, I mean, they're just, they're hammering them for their stance and what they've been in. And that's encouraging, too. It is just to see people making a stand and making lifestyle changes, because they don't want to support that crap. So I find that really encouraging, and that's been neat to see.
Well, that's part of their program, and how they tear you down is they make you feel like you're the only person out there on an island alone. And that's what's so encouraging about this is you get to see there's a lot of people just like us. It's just they keep their mouth shut. They're not the ones blasting it on social media and out there, whatever. You know, they're just trying to do the right thing and live and have that smile. And so it is encouraging to see how many people out there are like-minded people, and it's affecting them. They're seeing that lesson, and it's just fantastic.
Nebuchadnezzar has his way. Jesus, God called Nebuchadnezzar his servants. Now, these people that started all this really isn't none of my heroes on the hill, but look at what happens when they, you know, you take a Baptist preacher out there, you never get it done, but these guys get her done. So it's quite amazing how it works.
Amen. It's exciting times. Exciting times, it is. It's good to see these things. Well, guys, we are out of time. Wish we had another hour. But thanks for joining us, and a great conversation this morning, guys. I know it was encouraging to the remnant and to me as well, and so thank you, guys. And we encourage you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And scriptures4america.org. Join us there, and we hope you will. We'll have a little scriptural insight. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth message, and then a new message for you as well, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion. And so we hope you'll join us. Again, scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream, and we'll see you there tomorrow.
Rollin', 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, round them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.